Dan Zangrilli brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. Both Larry Kelly and Joe George are AV rated, as is the entire LGKG firm. LGKG, your home team. Also brought to you, Dan, is by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Dan, how are you today? There you are. You're on 93.7 The Fan. You're live on video. What's up?
Not much. Actually, with our boy Ben Tenuta doing a project on Aliquippa football, a little bit of a secret there. So we're in downtown Aliquippa. In about an hour, I'll be in Don Yanez's basement,
wow,
wine cellar. Yeah, so we've got something up our sleeve for our high school sports platform. So really looking forward to talking to a lot of folks that have been surrounded with the history of Aliquippa football. Had a great morning. Some really interesting, riveting stuff with everything surrounding the program there. So stay tuned, Joe.
That sounds really cool, and I will stay tuned, and we can talk about that later. In addition to talking about the Pirates. All right. There's a billion places I could start. Let's start with O'Neal Cruz. This is happening every game. A ball pops out of his glove like it's Charlie Brown in the outfield. And as Greg Brown himself pointed out last night with the double play ball that should have been, he should have caught it from Ortiz. Why do so many balls pop out of his glove? The bigger question is O'Neal Cruz viable as a shortstop moving forward here?
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty adamant in saying yes, but, you know, when you see things like you saw last night, I mean, I may have to move off my firm stance on that. Why is he dropping baseballs? I with every one of these, you just look at where his eyes are. I think it's the equivalent of a receiver turning upfield before he has possession of a football. O'Neal Cruz, and I think a lot of these drop baseballs are on, like, you know, potential double plays. It's, you know, when there's something of urgency, you just look at the eyes. He's assuming the catch, number one, and thinking about his next move before he has step A completed, before he goes to step B. So is he viable? Less and less by the day. That's what I think, the longer this continues.
Where would you play him? What's a realistic spot on the diamond that he could thrive at, or at least survive at?
You know, he obviously covers a lot of ground. I would say somewhere like right field. I don't know if he can handle left field at PNC Park. He's not an outfielder by trade, so you're going to have to go through growing pains at a new position there. The arm, obviously, is a huge tool. So I would immediately think of right field. You know, Jordy Mercer, I think, maybe it was on the morning show, floated on the air the possibility of flip-flopping Key Brian Hayes and O'Neal Cruz, perhaps, or at least playing Hayes at shortstop. Would Cruz go to third base? Maybe that's a possibility there, but I'm not sure what you know, moving the deck chairs around so much is probably not exactly where you want to go with it. But golly, man, it is a tough situation that he's putting this team in. So,
Dan, who deserves more blame? Ben Cherington, Derek Shelton, or the players?
On what? Be a little more specific there.
The season falling apart.
The season falling apart in the last 2 weeks.
I mean, ultimately the players, the bullpen in particular, right? Because there have been leads that have been blown. Sure, there have been some missteps made managerially, but to sit here and select one when it's obviously been a collective failure, that's hard to do, and you have to apply some nuance to something like this, because when something of this magnitude goes wrong, there's a lot of things that go wrong and a lot of ways that you could lay blame. The one run losses and the number of them that the Pirates have this year, that does lean towards manager. But then again, there's a lot of pitches in poor locations that have led to, you know, home runs in key situations. So who's that on? And I'm not sure the manager could have gone elsewhere in more of these situations. I mean, there have been a few situations, obviously, that I've been very vocal on that they could have gone in different directions. But, I mean, he's not out there pitching. So it's a collective failure. And when you lose as many one-run games as the Pirates have, yeah, it's that's tough, and the manager does not escape blame, but neither do the players.
Dan Zangrilli on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I don't know what to say about Key Brian Hayes anymore. I mean, this is just mind-boggling, and it seems everybody's best answer is, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, you can't trade him. I disagree. I think you actually could trade him. I can't watch this anymore. He gets one extra base hit per month. That's not an exaggeration. What would you do with Key Brian Hayes in the offseason?
I mean, I'm trying to overhaul something. The swing, it sounds like, based on what Derek Shelton has said, is not in a good spot. It sounds like there's not a the connectivity between Hayes and maybe what the Pirates think should happen. He does employ his own personal hitting coach. We know that. John Nunnally, that's been well documented and described here over the last year or so. So it sounds like there's a disconnect as far as where they want him to go, what he's doing, and obviously the results that he's getting. The Pirates would like to see him hit the ball in the air more. And I think that that's a fair request. From what I understand, the John Nunnally approach is very much old school, short to it, you know, long through it, try to stay up the middle. But what is that yielding in the way of gap-to-gap power, extra base hits, doubles? Hardly anything. So,
well, let me ask you this. Has Andy Haynes gotten any young hitter better here? What is if Andy Haynes is putting out a resume right now, what or who is he pointing to from his Pirate career as Exhibit A if I can get this job done?
Probably Brian Reynolds. Not that he made Brian Reynolds, but he's maintained Reynolds. He's got Reynolds, I think, in a consistent spot. And from what I understand, Reynolds is not necessarily his guy, but I think that there is something there that, and I could be wrong about this, but what I've gathered is that, you know, they work together in the offseason to some degree. I think Haynes is based in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that, but you, just to answer the question, I would say Reynolds, but I think that there's, unfortunately, too many examples otherwise of guys not achieving potential, namely Sawinski, namely Davis, namely Hayes, just to name three that unfortunately is, you know, you put the chips in one side of the scale, he's got far too many weighing against him.
Dan, how about I raise you Brian De La Cruz? In 10 games, he doesn't have an extra base hit, a 167 average. He is statistically one of the worst players who was acquired as a hitter at the trade deadline. Do you think that is maybe the messaging that is being delivered to him from the Pirates hitting instructors, or do you think he's thinking too much? What do you see when you watch Brian De La Cruz?
Probably the latter, because I don't think that there's been enough time to like overhaul somebody or impose a philosophy that is having this adverse effect on him in such a short period of time. I think the Pirates have acquired him, kind of rolled him out there and let him do his thing. And obviously he's not doing whatever he was doing in Miami, which was hunting RBIs in some critical situations. We knew that there was going to be swing and miss, and we knew that it was going to be somewhat like, you know, an Edward Olivares from the standpoint of, you know, he was going to not necessarily, you know, put the ball in play a ton, but have the ability to drive the ball in gap-to-gap power. But he's not been good, period, end of sentence. And the Pirates haven't gotten anything of what they expected in this trade, which again is still very, very early, but he's not helping matters. I concur.
He's a disaster. The ball he swung at last night was 8 feet outside the strike zone. He could have used a telephone pole and he wouldn't have hit the damn thing.
Right. You did know that you were going to get some swing and miss in there. So that was that. But somebody that
are we ever going to get some swing and hit? That's my question.
Well, with swing and miss guys, there's more swing than miss. But what you need is some situational hunting RBIs, just being that big run producer. He had, 51 RBIs at the time of the deadline? And to be able to come up big and clutch at times, it's not occurred.
Dan, you're a wonderful man and really good on the Pirates. As everybody knows, pre and post game, you can hear Dan Zangrilli And good luck with that project out in Aliquippin. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care, man. That's Dan Zangrilli, Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, let's get to the big boy, Mark Cabali. We're fitting three guests in this hour. It's going to be great. Wes Durham from ESPN ACC Network. I believe he was over at Pitt practice today, football. I'm going to ask him a bunch of things. This is going to be really good today, about both his observation about Pitt, and also he's done Atlanta Falcons work. His dad did North Carolina work. Maybe we can ask Wes the five greatest basketball shots in history. Shall we do that? City Limits?
Yeah, he's a big basketball guy as well.
Yes.
It'd be appropriate.
I think that would be very appropriate. We want you back after the break to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule a heart checkup at UPMC today. It's real easy to do, and I think it'll bring you some peace of mind. You know, either maybe something's up and you can fix it, or you're fine. Either way, I did this a couple of years ago. The people over there are so good at what they do. Do it. Schedule a heart checkup at UPMC today. So Mark Cabali next on the Steelers. What's up with Brandon Ayuk? And then Wes Durham from ACC Network and ESPN. Joe Patochnik, however, arrives before any of them, and his mustache always arrives first. Yes, I've been on the golf course with this guy. We were on a course one time when it was a little bit dewy in the morning. We went down a hill, and I was ejected from the golf cart like some sort of stick figure, like I was a little Lego figure. And I wound up on the grass, and when I looked up, there was Joe and his mustache just calmly backing the golf cart to a stop. I freaked out. He didn't. He handles these situations very well. He also wins a ton of awards, I might add.